You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
Welcome to, yes, lucky number 13.
Good thing we're not recording on a Friday.
This is true. Yeah. I should have my Friday the 13th ring on. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Simon.
Just to jump straight in. Let's just jump straight in.
Yeah,
I think that's the theory for today.
Just before we started to record this podcast, which is always on a Tuesday, we watched the Hi Ren video.
Now, if you're listening to this podcast, what I want you to do is stop listening to this podcast as a truck goes past. We're in the shed. We've got a bit of truck noise occasionally, but that's just adding to the ambiance.
Keep on trucking.
But if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen the Hi Ren video, I want you to go to our Facebook account. I'm going to post the video there this Thursday, which is going to be the day before the podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Go and have a look at it. If you can't find it there, if you're listening to this podcast kind of down the track and there's lots of other posts and things like that, just go to YouTube and search Hi Ren. It's on Ren's YouTube channel.
And that would be R-E-N, oh, yes. Not W-R-E-N as in the bird.
Yes, that's true. I should say that, yes. And it's – now, the video is 10 minutes. My advice – is sit down without distraction. You know, don't sit down in a – if you can sit down in front of a big screen TV, don't do it on your phone. Do it on at least a laptop. But if you can do it on a big screen TV, you know, and just sit in silence and watch this video for nearly 10 minutes, 9 minutes something, and just soak it in and then come back to the podcast.
Yeah. We'll still be here.
Because and then that way – the spoilers that we're kind of, the chat we're going to have.
I don't think there's going to be any spoilers or anything like that.
It's
not like, you know, no one knows that Darth Vader is Luke's father or anything like that.
But it's just one of those things where it is a...
It'll make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, I had, to be honest, I had seen Justin Hawkins react to the video.
Yeah.
And he didn't play very much of the video, and it was kind of him going, "What the hell is this?" You know, it's like, "This is amazing." There wasn't any. He didn't really give a lot of detail about what was kind of going on.
I suppose, as he sort of said in subsequent videos, you know, if he's doing a reaction to not get a copyright strike or anything like that, you can't play. You know, you only play a certain amount and then react to it, and you've got to be fairly strategic with that. I found that a little bit thin on the video, and more on just the reaction. And so, for the video that you saw of Justin Hawkins reacting, you need to go and see the video for it to make sense, rather than see the video first and then see what Justin Hawkins is about. But anyway,
yeah,
that's neither here or there. I mean, this is what we've done. So, Go and have a look at the video now.
And come back. Welcome back.
And welcome back. Yeah, there we go.
But basically,
in between time, I think I'm going to find some Girl from Ipanema music or something like that and just put that in there as well.
So hopefully you've watched it now. If you haven't and you're just charging on regardless because you're maybe in the car and you can't stop and listen to it now and you just want to listen to the podcast,
it'll inspire you to see it and you go, oh, that's what those guys are talking about.
So I think this we'll break down this a little bit, but it kind of came about of kind of going, is this a – I think my reaction was like, is this a moment of like genius? You know, is this – is this something we're seeing that is this a kind of a moment you know, is this the kind of moment we'll look back on, I guess is probably the way to put it. Is this something we go, holy shit, this is special.
Yeah.
And, you know, and more than that as well. So the, let's call it a quick synopsis, is Ren is about 27, late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since he was young, he's suffered some mental health issues and some health issues.
Yeah.
And so...
Which I think the health issues blended, you know, sort of blended into his mental health issues, because the health issues that he had is sort of, you know, chronic autoimmune disease and... you know, culminating in irritable bowel or some sort of Crohn's thing and sort of other things as well.
So he couldn't leave the house for a long time and as a teenager he couldn't
for sure.
Go and socialise. So
which of course would affect your mental health.
Yeah. I mean we've spoken about it before. It's just like the two things are, you know,
they are pretty inextricably linked. Yeah.
You know, if you've got other health issues in your body, that's going to affect it as well. It's, you know, you're one being at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, he's obviously struggled with a lot of that, and this song is kind of a, you know, a back and forth with his, you know, subconscious, this alter ego, this demon inside him.
Yeah.
And it's...
A rather nasty inner voice, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, and it's there's some cows.
My God, there's cows.
The cows have just gone mental. Like Charlie's dead asleep on the floor. Like he's just like, fuck the cows. The cows over the road are just like.
I had not noticed the cow. And sorry to take a break in talking about High Ren, but my God, last week we were in the shed and none of this was happening, right? So, you know, in between last week and now, there's a whole heap of cows that are being very, very vocal.
It's like, I mean...
You can hear them. Now, look, we're live.
None of them are having a baby. You should hear that when one of them has a baby. Now, that's...
Oh, God, no.
That's terrifying. Sounds more like an orgy at the moment. it's just... It's just our.
So anyway, we'll.
It's just
we'll,
our bovine supporters.
Good on you.
Oh, yeah. I saw Corey, he's in there. Soul Trader in there. Let's go crazy.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Don't
have a cow, man.
Yeah. Sorry about the. Well, I mean, it gives it that rural feel, you know.
It does.
Like we are rural.
We're out in the sticks. Know? Yeah.
If we just had traffic noise.
Back to Ren.
If we just had traffic noise and no cows, it would be like. A big city, but yeah, with the cows, it just brings it to life.
Exactly.
I mean, this song is one of those songs, and this is why I kind of said sit down and listen to it without interruption, because it is we are so distracted. We've spoken about this in the podcast. We get so distracted by things and we don't kind of really focus. But this is compelling viewing, compelling listening. It is, you know, it grabs you by the heart, you know, and just makes you go, holy shit. You know, it moves you. And I've played it to other people and they've had the same reaction.
So this is like, it was my third time two and a half times that I'd seen it, right? So I first heard about, Hi Ren. Oh God, I don't know. When did it start sort of beginning to blow up? What, about 3 months ago or something
like
that? Yeah,
I was going to say closer to the start of the year.
And, you know, I saw it in a number of Facebook things. Oh, check this out. So I started to watch the video, but I wasn't watching it with the sort of the eyes and ears of someone that wanted to absorb it. I just flicked it on and just, I got about 30 seconds into it when he started going, woo, 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 and I thought, oh, fuck, this sounds so European and so Eurovision, fuck off, you know, and didn't, you know, and turned it off and didn't think anything of it. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's just gimmicky, you know, this and that and the other. And then I talked to you about it, or you were talking to me about it, and it's like, and I probably had said to you, I'd probably seen a little bit of it, but I didn't think much of it. And you're saying, no, well, look, no, really, really look at it, really watch it, really absorb it. So I did, and I mean, God, how wrong I was in my judgment of it, you know.
Don't judge a song by its woo-woo-woos.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not a big fan of any song that, you know, any song that has like, you know, dum-da-dum-dum or la-la-la-la or any whistling or anything that doesn't have any words, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I just find it's just very childlike and you know, it's like, well, if you don't have any words to sing, well, then don't fucking do anything. Just let the music do its thing. But anyway, that's irrelevant. That's beside the point. So anyway, you know, I sat and watched it with the intent of just, okay, well, all the way through, all right, that's fine, no worries. And, you know, got past the woohoo bits, and then, yeah, I was just sitting there stunned, you know, really quiet and just like, my God, what did I just see, you know? People were saying, oh, is this a stroke of genius? I mean, I don't think, like really, I don't think there's any stroke of genius in there. Probably the only genius that, and that's not saying that it's not absolutely brilliant or anything like that, you know. I mean, you know, people throw around words like genius and don't really, you know, have some sort of point of reference as to what they're talking about. They're just saying that, you know, it's an overused word, you know. But I think if there was any genius in it, it's just the timing, you know. It's at the zeitgeist of this whole sort of, you know, mental health sort of awareness and I suppose the simplicity of the actual clip itself is as compelling as what is being sung and what is being spoken about in the spoken word element of the song. You know, it all encapsulates together with this really cool and hopeful message about someone, you know, getting past their inner voice, you know, which is really, which can be, you know, crippling, you know. And I suppose it sort of spoke to me a lot because that's something that, you know, I had and continue to go through from time to time. Is that particular thing of, you know, this inner voice is, you know, telling you it's not good enough and, you know, you adjusting your life around what your inner voice says rather than not. So yeah, I mean, that's what was further reinforced when I saw it a second time just before we started recording this podcast. I was watching it and it's like, yep, yeah, the message is still strong and it's still compelling and it's the whole package is just really, it's just really well done. It's just really, really well done.
Yeah. I mean, so it took me a little while after listening to it. So I listened to it, the first time I listened to it, I was by myself just in my studio and I saw the Justin Hawkins thing and was kind of like, I got to look this thing up because he was, you know, just, it was very, you know, light on for, you know, content, I guess, in the sense there wasn't much there to really kind of go on other than, I got to go and check this out because he's lost for words effectively.
Yeah. Which is quite a rare thing.
Yes. Yeah.
For Monsieur Hawkins to be lost for words. And big shout out to Justin, if you're listening. Love your work.
Oh, yeah. No, he's brilliant. And the thing was that that was actually a really short video for him. So I sat down and watched it, and then I can't remember if I sent it to my kids first. You know, my son's into Eminem and other artists like that as well. I mean, he's into a lot of different music, but and I sent it to my kids and basically said, you know, try to sit down in front of, you know, TV or laptop. Don't watch it on your phone. Don't let yourself be interrupted. Just give yourself a chance to absorb this. And they both kind of came back with kind of wow or holy shit or Jesus, yeah. That's full on kind of thing. And my daughter had added it to her Spotify, and I sat down with Annette, my wife, and said, would you sit down with me and watch this video? And I don't normally kind of make her sit down and watch things like that.
And she's not a big fan of YouTube anyway. So.
She's not a big fan of YouTube. She's not really a fan of hip hop. So I basically said, will you sit down and watch this video? And I said, she was like, how long is it? It's like, well, it's 10 minutes, but it's, you know, it's worth watching. So I basically sat her down on the couch and sat there and with her and watched it, and, you know, sat there in silence for 10 minutes. She basically had the similar reaction, which was, holy shit.
Yeah.
That was pretty, pretty full on. And then I added it to my songs on Spotify, and I don't add a ton of songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tend to go through phases. I'll find a new song and add it to the top of the list, and you know, Spotify just adds the new ones to the top of the list. So I recently just added a George Holiday song to the top of my list, but High Ren and what's the other song? Can't think of the other song. Another Ren song. Up there on the top of my list. So I often chuck that on in the car just because it's easy. Just chuck on the like songs and just, sometimes I skip through some and, you know, move further down the list. So I've heard it a lot, just the words.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can kind of recite a lot of the words now, but it's it hasn't lost any of its potency in terms of it being compelling song lyrically and message wise. It's interesting. I mean, when I think genius and this podcast was Charlie, no, he's just walking off, he's gonna have a bark in a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think, you know, obviously there's moments in music where there's maybe a song that's genius, and then there's maybe a person where you think this person's really shifted the needle, or this person has left a mark.
Yeah.
And you often don't see the birth of it, quite as, you never really know when it's coming.
Charlie, come back here.
You can hear when I go away from the mic and say, you can hear the echo in the shed. With this one, the really interesting thing that I've been thinking about with this song, and I was trying to think of other examples, and you may have one that comes to mind.
Sure.
How many other songs have ever been written like this that, in my opinion, cannot be covered? Now, somebody could do this song, but it has no meaning because you're not Ren.
Yes.
So if you sing this song, it is pointless.
It's not like, oh, you know, this is a really popular song, so I'll just cover this because then I'll get all the audience to be on my side. I mean, the thing I find amazing about the video and the whole package is the fact that, what other videos are out there in which people are saying to other people, watch this, don't watch it on your phone. I mean, telling a millennial to not watch something on their phone and to actually sit there for longer than 3 minutes doing anything is a fucking miracle, right? So
yeah,
you know, it's like what video enables you know anyone to to anyone to say to somebody else, look, come with me, let's sit down and watch this and tell me what you think.
Yeah,
you know, it's like there's you don't hear that from the fucking latest Beyonce bloody video, do you? No, you don't. You know, because in comparison to higher end, it's vacuous nonsense.
Charlie, come here. Now he's barking. There's not even any noise.
No,
he's just like, it's silent. I must make noise.
Charlie, come here.
You need to call him. You're the daddy.
I will. I'm going to take these headphones off while you are talking, and I'll just go over to Charlie and see what's going on.
He'll calm the dog. It's the one challenge of, you know, we're in a shed. And Corey's like tripping over his headphones, and Charlie's now going, "Oh, I like the headphones. Let's go and play with those." The one challenge of being in this shed at the moment is, you know, it's good to have Charlie here when he's lying down and sitting here on the floor in front of us. But there's all these noises that happen outside the shed, and he's kind of like, "What's that? I think I want to let that person know I'm here," and barks at nothing. So, but anyway. Corey's back with us now. I think these days it's like when people say watch this, it's like a TikTok 60 second, you know, those kind of, you know, very short things. It's compelling on all those levels. It's uncoverable in my opinion. I mean, because I know the lyrics quite well, but it's just like, there's the lyrics, Ren has a battle with his self-conscious, you know, and he's back and forthing.
Yeah.
Eminem did it. And he goes, play it on guitar. Plan B did it. You know, you're nothing but a riff-up artist. Yeah. And it's like, the thing is that Eminem created characters.
Yeah.
So within his music, he created characters, and then those characters could then he did it kind of on purpose, I think, because then he could have a character in a song and that character was really racist. But it was the character within the song.
Yes.
So the song is even Eminem stepping outside of himself.
Yeah.
And then you look at all other songs and there's always, even if somebody's written that song about, you know, a child or a partner or whatever, it's not like this where, yeah, somebody else can cover that and it's like, yeah, but I'm taking this song and putting it on my relationship. This guy's, you know, relationship with, you know, his inner voice, his inner demons, his illness, his life, and the way he's kind of structured this song,
yeah,
it is just so uncoverable, it's not even funny. You could do it to, you know, just to show you could do it, but I can't imagine you'd want to watch it or listen to it compared to the original. I'm sure there's somebody out there I'm sure there's heaps of people probably who've already copied it, you know, and done their own version. I'm sure there's somebody who's, but it, I'm sorry, I got no interest in ever listening to it because it's, you know, it's like a work of art in the sense that, you know, like a, you know, it's the Mona Lisa. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't copy it. It's the Mona Lisa.
Mm.
And that's what I kind of mean by there being some genius in it. Mm. And he didn't necessarily set out to, I don't think he set out with that intent or anything. I'm not kind of saying that there was, because you were mentioning it in terms of, the timing of the song. But I just kind of go, like, he's come up, you look at music and think that there's never going to be something that's new or so unique that it kind of stands alone anymore.
Yeah.
But this song, as much as he's even in the song saying, you're just ripping off Eminem and Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, he's even paying himself out for the fact that, you know, does he, inside does he feel like he's just, you know, does he feel like he's even original? And it's like, yeah, but the way he's done it is
Well, it's raw and it's real.
Yeah.
You know, lots of I'm sure there's lots of other songs that have been written out there about similar subjects. But the way that those subjects have been put forward weren't as real and as visceral as, you know, what High Rent is. It's hard to place a finger on why it affects you so much, except that, you know, when you're hearing other songs about a similar theme, it's not like you're hearing the lyrics and you are saying to yourself while hearing the lyrics, this is exactly what I say to myself, or this is what myself actually says to me. It's like Ren has looked inside my head and has basically made a transcript of what goes on inside my head. Yes. You know, and when you hear other songs of a similar nature, you know, they're just lyrics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they might have come from a real place from the songwriter, but it's from that songwriter's point of view, not from every person's point of view, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because he's actually doing the argument. The argument is so there. It's the argument reminds me of Lord of the Rings when Gollum and Smeagol, which is the same character.
Yes, yes. Talking about the precious.
Is back and forth with himself.
Yes.
And, you know, that argument is very similar because in the video clip he talks to one camera and then he turns.
Yeah, and the camera work is very similar in the video and it's really clever.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, there's probably, you know, some of it is kind of like borrowed from that. And I don't think that, you know, necessarily that even that scene in The Lord of the Rings, there's probably other scenes in other movies where you've had a similar sort of type of camera work. But Andy Serkis, who plays Gollum, he literally did that crouching on a rock, and he would literally, you know, read the lines back and forth to two cameras in a single take where he was literally flicking from one, you know, and it was like watching Andy Serkis do it.
Yeah.
You kind of go, this dude is like genius.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
His ability to just switch, you know, all the physical mannerisms as well.
Yeah.
And then they obviously had to, you know, turn them into an animated character, but he's literally doing it if you watch all the behind the scenes stuff. Mm. And this is not dissimilar. I mean, obviously, you know, it all looks, I mean, I'm sure in the video clip, there's probably, you know, it's probably a number of takes and things like that, but he's doing a very similar thing where he's flicking this, you know, emotion back and forth between, and I think that's just why you can relate to it, because you can, if you've had that in a voice talking to you at times, and I think we all probably have in differing degrees, you can kind of go, you're going, oh, I know what that's like. So that kind of draws you in because he's showing you the argument that he has, and you go, and you can relate. I go, I have that argument.
Mm.
And so the context of the content of the argument doesn't have to be identical to yours. It just has to be slightly similar and you get drawn in. Whereas, like you say, if it's a song lyrically, which is just talking about, you know, about you just arguing with yourself and, you know, it's kind of more one step removed, I guess, and, you know, doesn't feel as raw. And it's just the rawness of this argument, the fact that there's energy there, there's, you know, it's got that raw sense to it. I listen to it all the time, and it's just kind of like, I try to ignore the voices in my head. That's the quote I like is, you know, 9 out of 10 of the voices in my head thinking I'm doing awesome.
Mm.
You know, it's like, look, you know, we all have that, but it's you know, and I guess for him it was, this song was part of that cleansing process.
Yeah.
As well, in terms of, as you'll see from the song, if you've watched it, or you remember from the song where he kind of talks at the end, you know, about the fact that, you know, he was, you know, he had to relax, just, you know, let things happen a bit more. And that helped him kind of cope with things, you know, not being so hard on himself. Now we've got the crows. Oh, no, we've got the magpies.
Yeah.
Yep, look at that. See,
that's cool.
Bloody
that's
country right. life. How you fucking going? But yeah, I mean, and look, Money Game is the other song that I've got,
right?
Which is a bloody great song, which is actually referenced in High Ren. So if you go and see that, go and listen to Money Game, either online or on Spotify. You'll then you'll hear the reference.
Right.
Okay. Which is the she sells seashells on the seashore
mm-hmm.
bit that you hear in High Ren. That's a reference to his own song.
Right.
Where he's talking about being a rip-off artist, talking about copying Eminem. It's all in that part of the song.
Right.
But that is a great song as well. Like, that is a absolute banger of a song. You know, a different but really well done. But I thought... what we were also talking about prior to turning the mics on and starting to chat about this was also just maybe kind of other moments, either musically, kind of musicians or songs or, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think of like John Lennon, for example, and say Bob Dylan, you know, as being genius level people where it's right. just like they kind of shifted the needle. And I think, Eminem's stuff, some of his stuff is just mind-blowing. But then you also have other talents where I wouldn't necessarily put them on that kind of level, but I would go, they change the direction of music, their impact. So like a Nirvana,
yeah.
for example. You know,
where would Jeff Buckley sit on that?
Well, see, you talk about Jeff Buckley a lot, and I know you're a big fan. He doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
So I know for a lot of people he was a bit of a and probably a kind of – was he kind of – because he went for a long walk off a short pier, unfortunately. He did drown, didn't he? That's what, yes. what happened. Yeah. You know, because of that, it's one of those things where it was almost too soon. Do you know what I mean? It's like a Richie Valens – you know, kind of thing, just as he's starting to
sure.
have some impact. And then he probably had more, you know, in terms of the growth, you know, it happened after he'd passed away.
Because
you get that extra boost and
sort of thing.
So it was kind of like...
I suppose there's some of that. I mean, the thing that attracts me to Jeff Buckley's sort of songs and sort of him. I mean, it's not like I'm an absolute rabid fan, but
no,
like his version of Hallelujah was absolutely game changing
for you. And yeah, see, I mean, I don't like his version of Hallelujah. So that's just me. It's one of those things where songs resonate, you know.
Oh yeah, sure. And you know, there's a song from the album of his that never got released, but it was never completed because he died beforehand. So there's a song called Everybody Wants You, which is just absolutely superb. And then a couple of other songs of his from his Grace album, which is what, you know, he was known for.
Yeah.
Was just the complete antithesis of sort of what music was doing at the time, you know, and still is, you know, sort of very formulaic and you know, a bit thin on emotion and substance and very much, you know, just in you know, formula and what is the lowest common denominator. And then this guy comes out, which, you know, writes these long songs with these huge pregnant pauses and just, you know, getting lots and lots of emotion out of everything that he does. And it's just the direct opposite to what, you know, pop music was happening at the time. And I just look at Jeff Buckley as an exception to the rule, you know. So whether you think he's a genius or not, well, then that's fine. I mean, Ed Sheeran is the same, you know. He's a, you know, sort of short, ordinary-looking ranger who, you know, plays acoustic guitar. You know, he's not looking overtly slick and you know, he's not, you know... Yeah, he's so unpop-like, but at the same time he's got the world at his feet. He's another exception to the rule, you know. It just goes to show that you know, it doesn't swimming with the tide, but you know, sort of walking the path that everyone else is, you know, walking on for a particular result. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get there, but you know, some people walk against that.
Through
walking against that, somehow they cut through all of that noise, you know. So I think with Hi Ren and, you know, that particular song and the video and the way it's presented, I mean, it rises above even, you know, it transcends all of, you know, sort of what Ed Sheeran would do or Jeff Buckley or whatever. I mean, it's sort of another level again, but it's still an exception to the rule. I mean, you know, it's a video that's, yep, it's blown up, as the young kids would say, and, you know, it's 10 minutes long. It's, you know, acoustic guitar and, you know, spoken word with a little bit of singing. It's so unconventional and it's so... sort of not what everyone else is doing, and it seems like that's the thing that sets itself apart, as well as the incredibly powerful message that's behind it, you know. And for all the talk of, you know, the music industry being, you know, a pit of sort of vacuousness you know, people just doing things to, you know, get attention, to get likes, and it's all very, you know, it's not real. And then all of a sudden this comes along and it just goes to show that, you know, you can be yourself, you can be, you know, authentic, and you can be, you know, raw and go against the grain and still attain some sort of clout in terms of, you know, how far you can, you know, reach and connect with people with your music and your message.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, mediocre follows trends, you know. Like, that's just what mediocre does.
Sure.
You know, there's lots of stuff out there that's mediocre and it just follows the trends, and then there's people who step outside that, like you say, kind of swim against the current or whatever. Yeah, intentional or otherwise.
It's probably not a good analogy if you're talking about Jeff Buckley swimming against the current. But anyway, but too soon?
Right. It shouldn't be too soon. It's been a bloody long time. But I mean, the thing is that, I think that, there's other artists, you know, and I think everybody's opinion is different. You know, there's a lot of people who would look at Kanye, for example, and, you know, he made waves in the music industry in many ways, most recently being a Nazi. There's other, you know, musical acts. I mean, you know, Queen were a big musical act. And
sure.
But then they weren't really massive in the US until Wayne's World came out, and that's what really just exploded them in the US.
Right.
They were the biggest band in the world, but weren't really, really massive in the US.
Right.
You know, you know, that Brian May actually rang up Who's the guy that did Wayne's World? Mental blank. Anyway, Canadian guy. Yeah. You know, rang him up and thanked him for doing that, because you know suddenly they had this kind of
Michael Myers.
Yeah,
is that
Mike,
his name?
Mike Myers. Mike Myers. Yeah. They had a resurgence.
Michael
in popularity.
Myers is the guy from Michael. Halloween. Was it Halloween or Friday the 13th?
Oh God, I don't know. I'm thinking that's Halloween. What his mum called him.
Right. No, anyway.
He's like, it's Mike, Mum, Michael.
anyway,
but yeah, you know. So there's bands like that. I mean, like obviously, you know, Kiss for a long time were the biggest band in the world and doing things where they did things weird and radically different and, you know, did their own thing. And I mean, you know, people question Ed Sheeran. We obviously spoke about him before, but I mean, you know, he does hip hop and acoustic guitar and stuff like that. It's like, you know, more acoustic guitar and singing and a little bit hip hop-ish. And then you've got like somebody like Ren who's more hip hop-ish and, you know, a bit weird on the guitar and stuff like that and does a bit of singing, but not much. And it's just like, you know, they clearly kind of stand out. Of course, yeah, I mean, as we spoke about before, I mean, picking who's going to be the next, you know, superstar. But yeah, I mean, I'm thinking there's other songs around that have just become iconic that don't fit the mold. I mean, Stairway to Heaven is I don't know how many minutes long, and mm-hmm. American Pie is I don't know how many minutes long, but mm-hmm. a long song. And obviously Bohemian Rhapsody,
yeah,
you know, these are songs that, you know, the record company would be going, that's too long, gotta make it shorter, nobody's gonna play that. And it becomes this iconic thing, and it's like, yeah, that's swimming against the tide. And it's like, you know, you can I like the fact of just doing your thing, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Not thinking about it too hard. This isn't the doing the things like putting stuff on social media or engaging with your audience, those kind of things. Your art I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your art is non-formulaic, you just do it, you create it, and you put it out there without, it being contrived, you know, that's where the greatest stuff, I think, comes from. I don't think that, you know, Don McLean, Queen, or even Ren sat down and went, you know what I need to do? I need to, you know, a 10-minute song will be really good.
Mm.
You know, and I need to, it's just.
Yeah, it just happens.
They've created great art and it's,
yeah,
you know. I don't know, it's exciting to kind of discover something like that. Like, I feel like that's a golden nugget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, I think Hiron's, I think I looked before, it's nearly 9 million, 8.8 million streams
mm-hmm.
now. And I think what I first looked at it was like 600,000 maybe.
Right.
It's pretty early on.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. It's obviously had a lot of people do reactions to it and things like that. It's a classic one for people doing their old reaction videos.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's kind of special about it is that, it might be something that helps catapult him to new heights and, you know, opens up new opportunities. And it's always kind of nice that it isn't the predictable that has brought that.
Yeah.
That it is this 10-minute odyssey where he's laid it all on the line. He's laid his soul bare and it's like, you know.
I suppose the question is, you know, where do you go from there?
Well, that is the problem.
But I think
– if that was your first song and your only song,
yeah,
that would be more of an issue. Looking back and hearing some of his other stuff and kind of going, okay, you know.
It's got runs on the board.
Yeah, I think that kind of helps.
But also too, I mean, you know, if Ren is the character that he portrays in the song, which I'm sure he is, well then asking the question of himself, where do I go from here, he wouldn't ask that. You know, we're asking the question because we're not him, you know, because we would imagine, you know, if we did that. with the mind that we have, you know, where would we go from here? But I mean, all he's doing is creating art.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I mean, it's like, well, where's the next?
Where's Mona Lisa?
You know, where's the next song going to come from? Rather than, oh, where do I go from here? It's like, well, who cares? He's not caring about that. It's like, well, I'm just creating. So the next creation will come when it comes.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it from a songwriter perspective, you go, you can always look back at songs you've written and go on, yeah, that's a good one. And, you know, like I've got songs that I've been playing for 20 years and I still play them and people still like them. And I kind of go, yeah, I reckon that song's all right. It still works now. People still seem to enjoy it. But yeah, you've moved on and written other songs and you kind of go, I kind of like this song now.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, write another one. You go, oh, that one's pretty good. It's not the best thing I've done, but it's still good. You know, it's not grabbing me like some of them do, but it's I like the message. And then you move on to the next one and the next one. And I guess he'll do the same. But he's definitely kind of, you know, has not drawn a line in the sand. He's definitely planted a kind of flag on the mountain of you know, Ren is here and
absolutely.
Ren knows what he's doing. It's one of those things where I kind of hope that I hope that somebody like Eminem sees it, you know, and actually, sees the kind of the quality in it, and you know, maybe looks to help him out a little bit, you know, mentor him or whatever, or you know, but yeah, I mean, I think one thing I was saying, I can't remember if I was saying it at the start of the podcast or maybe chatting about it before, because obviously we have a bit of a, you know, rough idea of what we're going to talk about. Not that it seems like that sometimes, but we do have a rough idea. It's interesting, you know, if you look at a lot of these people, you know, they're a bit messed up, you know, your genius level,
mm-hmm.
potentially people, or these people who come up with these really kind of, whoa, you know, they're, if you look at it from an external point of view and you just look at that part of it and go, I don't know if you'd want to be them. You know, they're dealing with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ren clearly is, Eminem clearly is, you know, Freddie Mercury clearly did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people out there who are, you know, John Lennon clearly did, was raised by his auntie and lost his mum at a young age. His dad wasn't around and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of these people are tragic tales in a sense. And it's, you know, it's probably more common than not in some of these people who come out with these really, you know, compelling songs. Not to say that either of us don't have our moments, but when you look at the, you know, I think maybe it's a creative thing in general that we're all a bit high ren in the sense of, you know, having arguments with our self-conscious and things like that. And,
yeah.
One of the things in that song, actually coming back to that, is there's the, so he basically, you've heard the song hopefully, if you're listening to this, you know, he talks about the fact that, you know, he's just like, oh, people, you know, if people connect with my music, that's really good. You know, if they get something out of it, that's fulfilling. And then the subconscious is like, oh, you're so pretentious. And then he flips to, you know, like, but I am a genius. You know, I am going to make waves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I am going to make something of myself. And it's just like, oh, finally, you say it. You know, the God complex comes out of you. And it's kind of interesting because I go, I assume that every other musician like myself is, and I think that's also why you and I can relate to it even more, because we probably have that battle with the be humble, no, but I want to be, you know, I want to be a rock god or whatever, you want to be
sure.
Put on that better, So you know, we can relate to it especially because we're like, fuck yeah. I mean, I don't think that – I actually don't think unless you've got a God complex to some degree that you're probably going to, have enough confidence in yourself to actually do it, you know. But it is that balancing act, you know. If you walk out on the stage with doubt that you're as good as the other people, then you've got no hope. Mm. And it's just like you summon it from somewhere, you know. You might have doubts beforehand, but just as you're about to walk out there, if you're still doubting, it's like, you know, you've got to turn on the God complex for a minute and just go and come and come on, let's smash this out of the park. Let's, you know, let's blow everybody away kind of thing. So I kind of like smirk when I hear that bit because it's like, oh yeah, no, I've always thought that. Definitely got a God complex where it's just like, no, I want people to listen to my stuff and love it, you know. But it's, you know, it also links into what we were talking about last week, which is, for me, it's not all about me. You know, I don't care why people like me. It's just like, but, you know, I don't care why you worship me, but thank you for worshiping me. It's a little bit of that, I guess. You know, it's like I wouldn't care why people listen to the podcast. You know, like I just like people to listen. You know, if they're listening because they like the dulcet tones of your voice or my voice or whatever, or like what we're talking about, or just kind of
all the cows in the background.
Well, yeah, they're yeah. You know, like a bit of a cow fetish.
Well, I mean, we're going to be sort of coming out to all of the bovine enthusiasts. Anyone who loves cows will love the podcast.
You know? Exactly. I mean, you know,
music, creativity, and cows,
and livestock. Well, we should be a country podcast. The sounds of country. And it's just like, no, not country music. But yeah, you know, I if people, you like to think that people like our music, who are listening to the podcast. But, you know, I just think that, you know, you find all sorts of ways to relate to somebody, you know.
For sure.
You know, it's interesting, you know, you look at Ren, for example, in that video clip, and if you saw him standing in the street, you go, I got nothing in common with that guy. You probably, you know, he's got like shaved on the sides of his head and, you know, you know, it looks a bit, you know, crazy hair and lots of earrings and, you know. And you might kind of see him and think, I don't have anything. If you just saw him not playing music, just standing there, you might think, I've got nothing in common with that guy. But you hear this song and realize you've got a lot in common. And I find that interesting, the things you have in common with people, whatever that might be. You know, and as you said, this song kind of resonates because, at least probably for us, a little bit more than some others, but I think probably most people. No, obviously we can relate more because his content is very music related and, you know,
yeah.
But I think everybody can probably relate to that kind of having little discussions in their head, arguments with their self-conscious, arguments with, you know, should I, shouldn't I, you know, what are people thinking of me?
Mm.
You know, I was at that party, you know, and I got a bit drunk, not me of course, but you know, did everybody think I was an idiot? You know, all that inner talk, you know, that people have.
Mm, exactly.
But this song is an absolute, I don't know, it's just one of those songs that I think that people are going to listen to it in 20 years' time, 30 years' time, 40 years' time and go, that was a moment. And there's not too many songs like that.
No, there isn't.
Visually, audio, you know, like watching the video, hearing the music, there isn't too many. This one's going to stand the test of time because, as you said, it's so kind of visceral and raw and real.
Well, it's probably going to be one of those sort of, you know, generational things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not once in a generation, because I'm sure there'll be – There'll be others that will, you know, touch, move and inspire people. But yeah, it would be one of them. Certainly a generational thing.
Yeah. So, but, oh, you were going
to say something? No, I was going to say, you know, if you hadn't seen it, I mean, you know, do yourself a favour and have a look, you know, check out the video and you know, let us know what you think.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, once we've go and check out our social media where we've posted this podcast and come and comment, let us know. You can also obviously comment on where we've shared the higher end video, share that around, you know. Sure. Share this around, and we'd appreciate that.
You know, very cool.
If we can get 8.8 million listens to this podcast, it's been a little bit longer than 10 minutes though, so that'd be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this has been the Soul Trader podcast for another week. We're going to get in under an hour today. Last week got a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it was, but that's all right.
It happens.
Yeah.
You've got everything today. You've had cows, you've had magpies, you've had the trucks and cars going past.
You've had Charlie, studio dog.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've had a smorgasbord
cracking his nana.
Yeah, a smorgasbord of reality.
Yeah.
Here at Soul Trader HQ. But yeah, we're glad you listened. We'll be back again next week.
Absolutely. Ciao for now.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.